You might like to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. And in our exercise of the wonderful, awesome ministry of the Spirit of God, and we've been looking at that in the light of the Bible, in the light of the epistles, in the New Testament. So, and having said that and keeping that in mind, as we also, in going, before we go to Ephesians, go back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, God tells us how to understand His presence, His person, and all that He's doing. And God's Word helps us with that. Otherwise, we're always in the presence of God, but totally unconscious of it, for the most part. People are totally oblivious to God's presence. So we need to know Him. And if in the process we share together, the Spirit of God's ministry is to do that, help us. So, and God gives us His, well, we could do it in nursery, remind us, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, keeping in mind, if you would, God has a wonderful fullness relationship to Him, verse 9, so that our ship as we head out to sea in our journey of life, as we head out, God gives a full load to the ship. So when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, in that next second, when Christ came into your life, if you assume you're saved, He brought everything you'll ever have and ever need in His person. And you immediately became heavenly rich the minute you received Him. Everything was given to you in the person of Christ to exercise that life. Therefore, verse 10, and therefore the Spirit of God has made all of that, well, read it, why not? God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And we all, yeah, we know that. Oh, sure we do, a little bit. Yeah, God. So it's God's business to make us understand God. It's He Himself has to do so. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? That's how we know each other. We know each other, we see each other, etc., etc., and we learn to know each other. What man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. I'll read that part again. So the things of God knoweth no man. No one knows the things of God. Stop a minute, look out, look up into the sky, look out around you. How do you know God if I close the Bible? Tell me how you know. Now you got flowers, you got all creation, you got all the evidence of His presence, but you don't know. You can't intelligently exercise a knowledge of Him without God. God has to make Himself known. So the Spirit of God's ministry is to do that. Without the Spirit of God, you and I are dead ignorant. That's all we are. And we can be religious up to here and have religion all over the place, and we can read, talk about God. We can do everything. We write about God, the Book of Mormon, and all the other thousands of books. You can do it. but you don't know God. When you're all done, you don't know. Read the religious books and everything. Quran, you'll never know. Never know. Therefore, keeping that in mind. And verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why do we receive the Lord as our Savior? So the Spirit of God could bring to us all the benefits of Christ going to the cross. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God knows everything, and the Spirit of God is going to freely give us that relationship. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so we have to what? We have the Word of God. And so we go to the Word of God. Now, if you worked for a given company, or you do, or do anything, and you were privileged to go using Pratt & Whitney or something, and to go with the CEO, the head of the company, and you were to spend the day with him, and you spend the day with the CEO, the head of the company, and you follow him. What are you doing? What is happening to you? What are you having? A, you're learning about the CEO. You're with him 24 hours a day as he does whatever. And you're learning about the man. Secondly, you're learning about the business. You learn the man and you learn the business. That's what you do. And that's what you'd have to do to learn it. Otherwise, you get hired, you show your badge, go sit down and do whatever your job is, and you do one part of the job, and there's 7,000 other parts of the job that you have no idea of. You no idea of them. So you do it. But the fellow that was with the boss, CEO, boy, he has an advantage. God has given you his word. And using just the Gospel of John, let alone anything else, the Gospel of John. And here we have John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Okay, one verse. Now, God, what do you want us to do? You want us to turn the pages. And you've given us 21 chapters, and you've said the word, the verb, believe, 99 times. If I turn the 21 chapters and read believe 99 times, do you know what? I know what the word believe means better than I did when I just read 1 John 1:12. Boy, do I know it different. Not only do I know that different, the word, I know what it means differently. That's why when you come to the end of the Gospel of John and in chapter 20, these things are written that you might believe. That's what they're written for. Back to look at chapter 2, verse 13, by way of the scriptures. Comparing the scriptures with the scripture, that's how you understand. You can read a verse and God bless us as we try to read a verse and understand it. That's good. But you really have to understand. Manfred Kober told me the other day, back a while ago, he said, most people don't help us understand the Bible in what it means. They bring a chapter, they bring a verse, they say something, but they don't connect. What do we mean? What do we mean? God, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. come to the end. And God says, I'm coming for you. 66 books. For what? God, we're Gentiles, so we don't read the Old Testament. Or we made the Old Testament about the church, and it doesn't fit, but we make it about the church, and we really don't care about it. So really what? We really don't let the scriptures teach us. As I read Genesis 1:1, my God, I turn the pages. I'm reading, my God is busy in his creativity. My God is busy. So as we open the, we should say, you know it. As we read the Bible, you're always in the presence of God. That's what makes the Bible so easy. If you leave God out, you're trying to read it and understand it. If you understand you're in the presence of God, just reading the chapter, just reading the verse is awesome. You understand? But if I don't have God, I did my devotions. Say, oh, close book. Off I go. Sure, you can do that. You aren't getting to know him. That's the whole point. The Spirit of God's ministry is to help us have and hang on to this for the morning if the Lord tarries. To be able to understand what God has so wonderfully, wonderfully accomplished that the average believer just doesn't get a hold of. No. So, and here we are, spiritual with spiritual. And God helps us so that he's going to help us with the word. Now, back over to Ephesians. And we were looking at the Spirit of God's ministry just as given to the Ephesians. And you'll remember, as we were and have been, verse 17. Ephesians 1 and 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. So, God, how are we going to get the word? You're going to have to help us with the word. I got the Bible in front of me. I'm reading the words. I need to know, God, that as I read the words, as we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Spirit of God's ministry, I'm not going to get the intent of this in its fullness without the Spirit of God and without the other scriptures. So I'm going to read it, and I'm going to get illustration again to help you. Here's the buffet of food. Here's the buffet. And in order to make money in a buffet, we get you full of lettuce and everything. And so you stay away from all this expensive stuff. So we get you full of lettuce and everything, and that's how we do it. We get the lettuce. If we just eat the lettuce, that's fine. If you're going to explain the benefit of the buffet, you would have to frequent all the different things to see the benefit of the buffet. All you do is have the lettuce. Thank God for the lettuce. Got it? I got it. I'm glad I got the lettuce. And that's what we do most of the time. I'm going to speak. Find something to speak on. See? Find something to speak on. And then read it. You should have been feeding your heart to grow. So that whenever you talk to the little kid, the little kid's growing up. And the little kid's going to talk to you from his present existence. He isn't going to go back in his past. He's going to talk to you right from where he is. Whatever he's eating, whether his stomach's full, whatever he's going to do, that's what he's going to do. So God, we're going to thank God for the lettuce, and we do it. But we need to keep eating. And if we're eating, we go from the lettuce to the different things, and we get a plate full, and then we get a stomach full, and we digest it fully, and we have the benefit of life, physical life. That's what we have. So we need to get, grow. You should be feeding. You should be feeding on God's word. Just feeding on it. So when, therefore, like the little kid, you want to talk to me about God? All right. I don't have to go back 3 years ago. Right now. God, me. I'm 4 years old. I'm 5 years old. I'm 6 years old. I'm talking about God. I'm a believer. I'm growing. So why don't you ask me to speak? I want to speak about God. What he's doing in my life right now. I used to play with blocks, and now I play with BB guns. See, I'm growing up. I'm growing up. Yep. That's how I talk to you. That's how I learn. That's how I develop. So God, what are we going to do? We got to learn the word. And we let it grow. That's why we sit together like this. We assemble together, Ephesians 4:12. Why? To be exercised so that we learn. We learn. And we get very comfortable. So when we see the illustration back, the CEO of the company, we're able to say hi and we relate to him because we spent time with him. We know what his responsibilities are. We know what his burdens are. We know what his problems are a little bit. So when we see the CEO, we see him differently than just using a dumb illustration. When years ago, when I was working at Hughes, I think I told you all this stuff. Years ago with Hughes Aircraft and that, and sometime I'd work at night. In the process, keep going and work at night. And one night I was there working and at my desk and the whatever. And on my way out the door, the security guard said, "Did you see him?" I say, "Who?" "Howard Hughes just passed by your desk." And I was so busy looking down, trying to get everything in the right place. I didn't see him. And he never stopped and said hi. He should have said hi, you see. No. You got the idea. You got to go. You got to go. You want to relax. That's where your message is. You're growing and you're knowing and you're developing. You're learning. You have your devotions. You have your life's daily experience. And all of that is building in you, a relationship. And the relationship is outward. So you want me to get up and tell you about my relationship to Ephesians? I'm going to tell you about it. My God, his word. So therefore, verse 17, the Spirit of God's ministry is to help us understand. And to tie that, to even add to it, think of Romans in chapter 8, verse 26 and verse 27. And he said, the Spirit of God is making intercession for you because you don't know what to pray. Oh, we're going to pray for 7,000 requests. Good. You really don't know what to pray. The Spirit of God's ministry knows exactly what God's plan is for your life. And you're trusting God. That's what you're doing. You're praying, trusting God to outwork that will. That's what you want in a wonderful way, to outwork that will. And remember, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 2, you know, things of God knoweth no man except God. And what you're trying to pray, you don't know it. You couldn't know it. You could think you know it. And you could see what you see around you, but that's all you can do. And you present it to God, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We bring our request to God so we don't worry about it. Verse 4, so we don't worry about it, and we give it to God. Otherwise, we're just going to trust him. And we eat, When we're eating, what do? We don't have a little lab in front of us. And before we eat the bread, before we eat the sandwich, before we test everything, test the water, you know, unless it's from super duper springs, and we test the water and we do everything. We don't do that. What did God say to do? Examine everything you type before you eat it. He didn't say that. He said, in everything, what? Give thanks. Believe and open your dumb mouth and let the food in. Period. That's all I want you to do. I want you to do it. Otherwise, you get all loused up. I set apart the food. You believe with thanksgiving. Eat to your full. And whatever you eat, do it to what? To the glory of God. So eat whatever you want. This side can eat rice. This side can have potatoes. It doesn't matter. Now, that's a long way around trying to say the same thing. Got it? Go on. I got it. I'm not going to do it. What do you mean? God, we can't do it without you. We're Spirit of God. So therefore, sliding down in the light of that, if I can, in as we read in chapters, go to chapter 2 and in verse 18. And in chapter 2, we have the Spirit of God again. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to what? Verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So the Spirit of God, Jew and Gentile, all saved, all the believers, are able to go and have wonderful access to God in his wonderful, wonderful way. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 14, the Spirit of God's ministry, which is the earnest, verse 14, the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's you, a believer, unto the praise of his glory. And verse 17, and we did that. Okay, now, it just had done that. So God, what are you going to do? You're going to go and encourage our heart, and you're going to purchase us, seal us, keep us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, and God's going to do that and keep us. So, that's the Spirit of God's ministry, verse 18. In both we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So, and going sliding down, verse 20. Well, I'm going to read it because you'll see it. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers because we have access to the Father. We have an audience with the Father. We have an acceptance with the Father. We can go directly to the Father in Christ. We're no more strangers and pilgrims. We have strangers, etc. We have direct access. He's the Father. And that's why the Spirit of God's ministry, is present tense, Galatians and Romans 8, is saying what? He said to the believing heart, always, 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 Abba, Father. He's saying Father. He wants us to understand it is unique. And unless you don't help us, God, we do forget. We do forget. It isn't like an earthly Father. It's a heavenly Father. It's you, God. And we're always in the presence. We're always in your presence. And it isn't like a father. We see him goes to work and every goes to bed. We don't see him. But you're always there. You're always there. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, verse 20, and you are built up, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and using your wall over there, either side, all the same color bricks. And we have the foundation of cement and steel. And you have that. So you got, here's the foundation. Now what do? Jesus Christ is the foundation. What are we going to do on top of the foundation? We're going to put the believers. In the Old Testament, it was Moses, etc. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. In the New Testament, it's the apostles and prophets. Their job was to present the wonderful ministry and life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, on the bottom layer of bricks are all the same, and then where are they resting? They're resting on the cement. And then what? Everyone else goes up from there. They're the foundation. That's what we're reading. We're reading the epistles of Paul, etc., Peter. And as we read them, we're going up from the cement. And what are we doing? The bricks are all the same. And you get to know the Lord. And then you become one of those bricks. And you become, you get saved. And you become one of those bricks. All the same bricks, right? All the same Savior. All the same life. All the same love. All the same Lord. All the same. The apostles and prophets. The foundation. And we're saved. Therefore, Ephesians, in verse 21, in whom, in Christ, the foundation, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. In the Lord, we become a temple, a house. In whom you also are builded together, for bounded together, the word build, bound together. You are builded together for an habitation, a dwelling place of God, through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's ministry is to make a home. And so therefore, when you get saved, God does a wonderful thing and saves you, makes you a new creature in Christ. God makes you a new creature in Christ. Spirit of God saves us because of the work of Christ. And so in those milliseconds, he saves us. And then the Lord Jesus Christ in the same millisecond, nanosecond, the same nanosecond comes in and saves you. And now, why are you comfortable, Lord? The Spirit of God has made the house ready. Therefore, our Lord is comfortable in the house. The Spirit of God made it fit for him. In 1 second of time, he brings the benefit of salvation into your heart and does something wonderful for you. And the Spirit of God does that. That's his ministry, to make it a habitable, to make it a dwelling place for the Son of God. So therefore, the Spirit of God's ministry to make us a building, a body, a temple. Yep. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I can, so God, what are we going to do? Where are you going to go and make me, you can save us, and you go and place us, 1 Corinthians, and 10, 1 Corinthians 12 and 18. What are you going to do? You're going to go and place us in the body. You give us, make our heart fit to be a temple for God to find his home, his comfort, where he is well received in your heart. You don't put him in the basement. And you don't put him in the attic. You give him the whole house. And he has that whole house. It's all fit for him. So therefore, he's able to find his dwelling place. And the Spirit of God and the Lord's able to go and do wonderful things. And the Spirit of God places us in the body of Christ so that we all enjoy, as we sit together, we all enjoy a oneness, a unique oneness in his body. That's awesome. We're all able to find. He finds his home in your heart, my heart, your heart. The same one, same home. Finds his home. That's where he's home. That's what happened when you got saved. Now, and so therefore, an habitation of God, the Spirit of God's ministry, is to make all of that wonderful, wonderfully, wonderfully possible. And at verse 16, chapter 2 and verse 16, and that we might purpose, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, the enemy, the hostility, thereby he answered everything on the Calvary's cross in such a way that he gave us his wonderful, wonderful grace. And therefore, in the process of chapter, in the habitation, the Spirit of God's ministry. And I'm just bumbling through it, but you see it? That's what I'm going to do. And to do it again, if I can. Picking up, please. In chapter 3. And in chapter 3, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 5. Which in other ages was made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets. Remember, they're the foundation that you read, if I can, verse 20. So they're the foundation. The Spirit of God's ministry is to equip them to be able to communicate perfectly all the word of God in a most wonderful way, I'll read it again, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry is to make it all work. One body, and Christ, and God brings us all together in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over to the book of Acts for a minute. And if I can, chapter 10. He brings it into one body. Now, his Jew and Gentile, they become one in a unique way. So, chapter 10, picking up, please, verse 12. This is, you'll remember, Peter, a Jew, a real consistent Jew, as he should be, and he therefore would not take that which belonged to the Jews to the Gentiles. Therefore, verse 12, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, the wild beasts, the creeping things, the fowls of the air. And remember the Jews, the Israel, the law, there's clean and unclean animals, and you eat the clean and don't touch the others, and that was the law. What's it for? To teach them to know the difference between holy and that which is common. To teach them to know the difference between humanity and God's holy person. Teach them. Help them. And what they dressed, what they did, what they eat. Okay, now, having said that, keeping that in mind, Peter is right there. Now God's going to help him because Christ has died on the cross and the door is open for whosoever that believes to get saved. So therefore, sliding down, chapter 10, all the way down, you know, Peter's going to be, see the thing coming down, the net coming down with all the animals in it, verse 14, and verse 13, you'll see it. And there came a voice to him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "What are you asking me to do?" Verse 14, Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. I followed the rules." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." God died on the cross for everybody. So, verse 16, "This was done thrice, and the vessel was raised up again into heaven. And while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius, Gentile, had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. In other words, God told Cornelius. Cornelius said to God, God, I need to know you, and I know I honor you. I honor you. I honor the Jews. I honor the law. I don't understand it all. I would not to know you. And God says, good. And so he sent three men to go see Peter. The Spirit of God did that. Now, who do you send? Who do you go to? And the Spirit of God picked three men and sent them to Peter. God did that. Say, God, you can't do that. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. God wants something, he certainly can move and motivate you to do it. And he knows your heart, he knows our heart, and he knows our weaknesses and failure. And if he knows I have got a problem with some area, or I get caught up in some area, God knows that. And God may let that loose, and off they go. So here goes Peter to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius goes, he goes to see him. So in the process, in chapter 10, and picking up, please, now, as you know, and he goes there, and all the people get saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So sliding over to verse 29, therefore came I unto you, Peter's explaining, Cornelius is explaining to him why he sent for Peter. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for, I asked, therefore, to what intent you have sent me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and in the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. That's pretty dynamic. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. I love the way God does things. I do. I do love the way he does them. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine arms are hid in remembrance in the sight of God. And so therefore, Simon did a wonderful thing. Now, having said that, and so he introduced the gospel to the Gentiles, as it were, to the Cornelius. So, go over if I can, please, now to compare that. Well, before you do, do that. We'll do that first, because you're already in there. Over to Acts and chapter 15. As you remember, Acts on the Council of Jerusalem, and remember Acts chapter 15, and sliding, if I may, Acts chapter 15, going to verse 14. Simon, this chapter 15, here's Simon Peter. Simon hath declared how God, at the first, did visit the Gentiles, we just read that, to take out of them a people for his name. So God is going to go and has Jew and Gentile. You read in Ephesians, the Spirit of God's ministry is to take the two that are different and unite them as one. How am I going to get Jew and Gentile? I'm going to put them in the body of Christ. Now, having said that, hang on, hold your finger here. God's going to take them and put them in his wonderful body. Over to Galatians. And in chapter 3, picking up in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. A unique, wonderful, wonderful relationship. Now, while you're in Galatians, tie that together. Over to Galatians chapter 2 and remind yourself. The Apostle Paul helps us at this point, chapter 2 and in verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles, was committed unto unto me as the gospel of the circumcision, the Jews, was unto Peter. So Peter had his job introducing the gospel to Christ, of Christ, to the Gentiles, and Paul had the commission, assignment, to help the people understand, the Gentiles understand. So when we go into the Galatians and all the New Testament, turn the pages, it doesn't tell you anything about the world. It isn't about the world. It isn't about there. It's all about what? Your relationship to Christ as you turn the pages. It's all about your unique Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, all about your relationship to God. That's what it's about. That's Paul's assignment to help us understand. Now, having said that little bit, and taking, if I can, keeping that in mind, and in the process, you're in Galatians. Galatians 1 and verse 12. Where did Paul get this message? 1:12 Galatians. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where did you get saved, Paul? Sliding down, verse 15. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Verse 16. To what? To reveal his Son in me. To reveal his Son in me. That, what for? That I may preach him among the heathen, Gentiles. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. God, it's all God's business. That's what you're looking for. You want God to be busy, which is he wants to be. That's the spirit of God's ministry, to be busy. And the believer should be looking to God, trusting God, outworking God, and that's what God's going to do in a most wonderful way. Now, back over to Ephesians. And in chapter 3, if I can, chapter 3, and oh, you'll catch it in verse 16. What that, I'll read verse 15, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that God would fortify, strengthen the heart, and make it strong in the inner man. The Spirit of God's ministry is to do that, have a unique, super duper strong heart ministry for God. Now, having that in mind, and keeping that, please notice the clause. Where are you there? The riches of his glory, the clause, the phrase, no verb. Okay, over to chapter 1, verse 7. Just to see it as you turn the pages. So if you're going page after page, word after word, it's all collecting itself, all building. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the, what? Riches of his grace. Now, the riches of his grace. Oh, if I can, chapter 7 and in verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And God has found a wonderful, wonderful prize, a trophy. It cost him his Son. He found you and made you holy, made you part of his Son. So the Son, Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, Christ. God has put, Father, all things under Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, the body of Christ, which you're part of, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God, by way of the head, gives his body, gives Christ's body, gives the believing heart, all the benefits of our Lord Jesus Christ in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And what pops in my head, chapter 4. And chapter 4. But every one of us, chapter 4, verse 7. 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure, how much of the gift of Christ, the unspeakable gift. How much? You received Christ as your Savior? As we said in the beginning, you received everything all at once that you could ever have. Nothing's missing. Like in Philippians, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, the ship pulls up to the dock and God puts aboard it everything that's needed for the journey from here to forever. That's what he does in a most wonderful way and loads it up. He fills it, gives it fullness, wonderful, wonderful fullness. So God in Christ, what are you going to do? You're going to go and we are back over to Ephesians 1 and verse 23, which in his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. There's nothing left to fill. He completely does everything. You and I, little, using the illustration, the little seven-year-old kid, he hasn't experienced 10 years old yet. He's just working along, little kid. And the father and mother can look at him, but the little kid doesn't know. They could talk to him, but they don't know. Yet they could try to explain things about the world, but he doesn't know yet. He's there. He's going to have to just trust God, trust the parents. That's what he's going to do. So God, what are we going to do? We're just going to have to go what? And trust you. And what? Knowing that all the while the parents are there to take care of the food in the refrigerator, of everything, of the heating, clothes, laundry. They're there to do it. Little kid knows, but he doesn't know. He doesn't know. God, you're here. You can only know only so much. And therefore, God has to make up the difference. So therefore, we have the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory. God, Christ in me, is everything. The Spirit of God brings out the everything of God for the heart to enjoy. That's what it does. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to do and to be all that he's to be to us. So, and having said that, our chapter 3, picking up if I can. And so God, you're going to go and help us in every way, the riches of his glory, the power, and the inner man. God, you're going to go and help us so that we're able to have all of the benefits all at once. But the little 10-year-old boy doesn't know that. Little 10-year-old boy doesn't know that. No. I could say it to him, but you don't know it. You don't know it. God, you say it to us. I hear you, God, but I don't know it. I don't know it. You do, God. You know it, yep. So God knows. I don't know. Can you tell me what the next 10 minutes will be like? No, God knows. God knows. I don't know. And I'm going to go through it. I may not go through it. I may not. You may not. We may not. The Lord will come. But so God, you're going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing for us in a most wonderful way. And the Spirit of God is going to go and cause us to be profiting and pleasing to God in a most wonderful way. And God's love is going to capture us for what? To make possible the impossible, the outworking of God's goodwill in a hostile environment, having an old sin nature, and the world doesn't want it, and God's going to make it work out anyway. And all he needs is your amen. All he needs is you and I to believe, and God's going to do what he's going to do. So you can't, no, God says, no. No, God so loved you. God loves you. To what? Outwork his wonderful person, his wonderful will in your life. That's what love is. God, you want me to what? Love you. For what? To find out your wonderful person. You have become my God and Savior, my Father, in a unique way. God, you want me to know that? Yeah. I want you to know that. That's all I want to know. So I'm going to go. Going to trust God. And we're going to rest. Got it? A little bit. It isn't hard. It's actually, we say it. It's rather, rather simple. The little 10-year-old kid doesn't have to worry about being 15. He just has to enjoy being 10. And that's all he has to do. If he wants to worry and go on the dumb phone system and all of that and get tied up in all the dumb system out there, then he's got all kinds of thoughts. He's trying to be 25 when he's only 10. He's trying to handle things that he isn't even supposed to handle. And he's throwing at him all the time. He's punching other buttons. He's got other buttons, all things. He got it. No, God said, don't do that. Just thank God. I have an ever-present help. God, that's you. To go from 10 to 10 to 11 to 12. I don't have to worry about being ahead. I just have to enjoy now. Think of what we're doing, and it's going to come out better and better, I hope. In 1 John 3:1-3. Now you're children of God. Now God loves you. Now. Not next month. What's that we got to do? Nothing to do. It's just a plain fact. The parents have got the football for the 10-year-old. God has got the football for you and me. Period. That's just a fact. You don't have to debate it, argue it, like it, don't like it, close the Bible, do whatever you want. Doesn't change a thing. Doesn't change a thing. You don't make truth and I don't make truth. I don't make reality, he does. Reality is what it is. And I'm either lined up with it or I'm not. Either I live in a make-believe dream world, fantasizing and playing with things, what people think. They may not ever think what you think they think. And you worry about all kinds of things, and anyway, I got to quit. You got the idea. Just trying to get you to pay attention to God. Thank you.